320. The scene number 320 has invitation.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning and ready to worship our Lord together. But good old Pharisees, we never tire of talking about them and often accuse people of being a modern day Pharisee. And in reality, I think that generally what we mean when we say that is that those people are just too strict. In reality, when you read the Gospels, the Pharisees were not condemned for their strictness. They were condemned for a host of other things. And often, I think, we often misunderstand why that they were condemned. But I don't think that most people have a problem being modern-day Pharisee. I think most people probably have the problem of being a modern-day Sadducee. Sadducees were also a religious Jewish sect, and they were just as prominent in Jesus' day as the Pharisees were. Oftentimes, the reason that we focus on the Pharisees is that during the Gospels, in the Gospel accounts, Jesus often was in conflict with the Pharisees. But when you open the book of Acts, it is most notable that many Pharisees come to believe in Jesus. Acts 15 and verse 5. There were many Pharisees among their number. And of course, the most famous Pharisee of all to come to believe in Jesus is the Apostle Paul. But when you look at the book of Acts, the key opponent to Christianity, as far as the Jews are concerned, are the Sadducees. Why were they so opposed to the message of Jesus? And I fear far too often, we fall far too often into the pattern of being a modern day Sadducee than we do a modern day Pharisee. The Sadducees appear 14 times in the New Testament. Not that often. 7 of those times appear in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew references them most frequently. And we'll look at briefly at one passage from Matthew, Lord willing, this morning. But they would have been a powerful force in Jesus' day. Now, Sadducees means the sons of Zadok. Now, who was Zadok? Well, first of all, Zadok was the high priest who was high priest under King David and also under King Solomon for a very short time under King Solomon. He actually is the one who anointed Solomon, the king of Israel. This is who they trace their lineage back to, okay? We are sons of Zadok, or the ones of Zadok. His great-grandson, Azariah, was the first high priest to serve in Solomon's temple that he built. He held that honor according to 1 Kings 4 and 1 Chronicles chapter 6. And as you would expect, as holding the office of the high priest, he was a direct descendant of Aaron. And if you look in the book of Ezekiel, in several verses, Ezekiel emphasizes, or God emphasizes to Ezekiel, that Zadok's descendants were faithful to him. And that despite the nation going awry, and despite the nation not using the temple as it should, as you see in Ezekiel chapter 8, that these priests remained faithful to God in the midst of the unfaithfulness that surrounded them. And so the Sadducees claimed that they had the right to the priesthood. And in the New Testament time period, they were the ones who held the office of the high priest. If you look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 17, the high priest rises up along with his associates, the sect of the Sadducees. They were the ones who controlled the high priesthood in Jesus' day. And the reason for that was, they said, we're the rightful descendants. We can trace our lineage all the way back to Aaron. Aaron was the first high priest, and God appointed he and his followers and his descendants to be high priests unto him forever. So there is a focus of power that is concentrated among the Sadducees. They emphasized their power in the priesthood and their power in the Sanhedrin, as limited as that was with the Romans ruling them. Now, Josephus, the Jewish historian, who records a lot of about basically a commentary on the Old Testament in some of his writings, he also talks about the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, and all the sects of the Jews. And what we learn from his writings is that the Sadducees were mainly a wealthy group of people. They were what we might term as the 1%. They were the high class of society. But they never were able to gain a popular following. They always would try. They would always try to get a lot of people to follow them. But they really were never successful in that. The Pharisees were able to sway the masses, and the Sadducees were unable to. Josephus records for us, they only believed in the law of Moses. Now, this is going to become important for our discussion this morning. They only believe in the law of Moses. They reject oral tradition. And we would say, well, that's good, right? The Pharisees, one of their problems was they paid too much attention to oral tradition in Matthew chapter 15. They reject that. The Sadducees reject that. But they only accept the first five books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy. That is their canon of Scripture. They do not believe that the prophets were inspired. They do not believe in the inspiration of any other book than this. And so they strictly keep to this. They do not believe in an afterlife, Josephus tells us. And we'll also talk about that with the New Testament. They also do not believe in the providence of God. God is unconcerned with human affairs. And he doesn't care about any of that. And so he doesn't involve himself in these things. He just made the world, he created it, and he let it go. He is uninterested in involving himself in the affairs of mankind. And in addition, God doesn't care how you act. If you're a good person and you do what the law requires of you, that's fine. But God really doesn't care about that. If you're an evil person and you are wicked and you violate the law, well, that's fine too. Everything's fine. God really doesn't care how you act. This was their teaching. This was their philosophy. Now, we do not have any of their own writings that have survived, which puts a little bit of a damper on their belief. But it seems strange that they would believe certain things like this. But the New Testament, when you open your Bibles to the New Testament, you read in several passages that their main theology surrounds, as far as Christianity is concerned, they do not believe in a resurrection. Each one of the synoptic gospels deals with the story that we will deal with, Lord willing, this morning, where they come up to Jesus and they ask him about the resurrection. And the statement is given in Matthew 22, Mark 12, and Luke 20. They don't believe in the resurrection. Turn in your Bibles over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 23 in verse 8. We read a little bit more about their theology. In Acts 23, in verse 8, and of course Paul in context is on trial here. And in Acts 23, in verse 6, he has cried out that he is on trial for the hope of the resurrection. And so there is a disturbance that exists in the crowd. But look in verse 8. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor an angel, nor a spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. So the Sadducees deny the resurrection, they deny angels because that's God's messengers in the world, and God's unconcerned with human events. He's not going to involve himself in that, and they deny spirits as well. And so they reject all of these things. And Jesus warns his disciples in Matthew 16, and turn over there. Jesus warns his disciples about listening to their teaching. In Matthew 16, in verses 1 through 4, the Sadducees come up, and the Pharisees and Sadducees come up, and they ask Jesus for a sign. And they say, Jesus, give us a sign. Prove to us that you are the Son of God. And of course, there's a lot of irony to that, because they've witnessed multiple events that Jesus has done, and yet they haven't accepted them. And Jesus says, no sign will be given to you but the prophet Jonah in verse 4. Now, when they leave, the disciples and Jesus leave, and Jesus says to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And of course, they misunderstand it at first, and they think, oh no, he said that because we didn't bring any bread. And so they're worried about that among themselves, and he rebukes them for their lack of faith in verse 8. And then this statement is made in verse 12. Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now often again we highlight the Pharisees, and in particular you flip back a page in your Bible to Matthew 15, you can see one of the cases where Jesus disputes the teaching of the Pharisees with them, and he says to them, you're not understanding things correctly. But he also tells them, take warning. I don't want you to fall in the trap of listening to the teaching of the Sadducees. Jesus warns his disciples both about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So what is it that we can take warning from them? Well, first of all, the major account where Jesus handles the Sadducees is in all three Gospels. This morning, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on Mark 12. So turn in your Bibles over to Mark 12. Verses 18 through 27. And I want us to look at a couple of things that the Sadducees fail to understand and fail to do. And Lord willing, we'll make a few additional comments as well. Starting in Mark 12, in verse 18. Some Sadducees who say that there is no resurrection come to Jesus and began questioning him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves behind a wife and leaves no child, his brother should marry the wife and raise up children to his brother. There were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died, leaving no children. The second one married her and died, leaving behind no children. And the third likewise. And so all seven left no children. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, when they rise again, which one's wife will she be? For all seven married her. Jesus said to them, is this not the reason you are mistaken? That you do not understand the scriptures or the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. But regarding the fact that the dead do rise again, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are greatly mistaken. So the Sadducees come up to Jesus and they quote from, in verse 19, Deuteronomy 25 and verse 5, the Levirate law of marriage. Okay, this is what Moses commanded us, Lord. Should we observe that? And of course, the answer being yes. This is what God has commanded through Moses. And so they tell in this little story. Well, we've got a brother who's got six other brothers, and they all die, and they all marry the same woman, and they don't have any children. So in the resurrection, is she going to get seven husbands? How does Jesus respond to this? Jesus responds by telling them two things in verse 24. They are mistaken because they do not understand the scriptures or the power of God. They fail to understand the Scriptures. Jesus emphasizes to them, look, you can't pick and choose what Scriptures you want to believe and the ones that you dismiss. Look down in verse 19. They said, Teacher, Moses wrote for us this, and they quote from Deuteronomy 25. They said, that's what Moses said, and we just follow Moses. Genesis through Deuteronomy, that's what we listen to. So Moses told us to do this. And Jesus says, that's right. But look down in verse 26. He says, but in the book of Moses, it also gives testimony to that the dead rise again. You can't just pick and choose what you want to believe. Okay, we're going to accept Deuteronomy 25 and we're going to follow Deuteronomy 25. But Exodus 3, which Jesus quotes from, we're going to throw out because we don't like the implications of that. Because that teaches something differently than our theology will accept. They get to pick, they try to pick and choose what passages they believe and what passages they dismiss. And Jesus says to them, have you never read these things? They fail to understand the Scriptures, and therefore they don't take all of the Scriptures, but they neglect some and fail to pay attention to them and pay attention to the message that is contained in them. And as a result, it leads to false theology, lacking a hope in the afterlife. You can't pick and choose just what you want to believe and what you don't want to believe. Either you accept God's message, all of it, or you reject it. The Sadducees' failure to understand the Scriptures leads them to a failure to understand who God is. The Bible is a book about God. He is the subject of the first sentence of the book. He is on every page and in the background of every story. He is the key significant character, and the Bible is written so that we might come to believe in Him and put our faith and trust in Him and have eternal life spent with Him. And as the Sadducees read the Scriptures, they fail to understand the essence of who God is. Look down in verse 27. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. That's who God is. And you don't understand that. Why? Because you don't understand the Scriptures. Because you're not studying the Bible to draw closer to God and to be a better servant of His. That's why you don't understand it. And because you're failing in that, you fail to understand who God is. What is the first picture of God in the Bible? First picture of God in the Bible is that He is a creator that gives life. That would be a passage of Scripture. The Sadducees said, oh yes, we accept that. That's in the book of Genesis. That's one of the first five books that Moses wrote. We accept that. That's the first picture of God. He gives life. And yet the Sadducees reject that notion of God. Because they don't understand the Scriptures. They don't study the Scriptures with a desire to be a better servant of God. They were the religious leaders of the day. They held one of the highest positions that God could give to people, high priest. The priests were supposed to be dedicated to teaching other people about God and about His law. And yet, they don't understand the law. And that lack of understanding of God's Word leads to a lack of understanding of the God that we serve. Are we understanding the Scriptures correctly? Do we as individuals pick up our Bibles on a daily basis and read God's Word carefully so that I might imitate God better? Do I pick up God's Word and I look at it so that I can understand the God that I serve better? and draw closer to Him. Let me tell you something. If I'm not doing that, I'm a modern day Sadducee. The Sadducees were guilty of this. Are we guilty of the same thing? Failing to study God's Word. Failing to know the God that is revealed within it. And failing to become better followers of His. They don't understand the Scriptures. And they don't understand the power of God. I remember again, as you look throughout, that the Sadducees only believed in the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Is there any examples throughout Genesis through Deuteronomy where God displays His power and His might? Any examples? Oh, well, absolutely. Creation, right? God speaks and the world happens. How much more powerful can you be? God brings the nation of Israel out of Egypt with a powerful arm and an outstretched hand. God provides for them while they're in the wilderness. He gives them manna to eat. He gives them water to drink. Deuteronomy 8 in verses 3 and 4 tell us that their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes did not wear out. Same is recorded for us in Deuteronomy 29. There are ample evidence in the first five books of the Bible of God's awesome power. And that's what they claim they believe. Some of the greatest displays of God's power and might are in the first five books of the Bible. And yet, even though they claim that they accept it, they doubt the power of God. They have the attitude, well, God just can't do that. Yes, God can create the world by His spoken word. Yes, God can lead Israel out of the most powerful nation in the world at the time. Yes, God can provide for an entire nation of over 2 million people in a desolate wilderness. But God doesn't have the power to raise the dead. And God doesn't have the power to help me out when I'm in trouble. They limit God because they have a limited worldview. God just can't do that attitude. And the result of this attitude is it is going to result in their lack of faith. Who wants to put their faith in a God that can't help? Who wants to put their faith in a God that doesn't really care about you and doesn't care if you live righteously or unrighteously? Who wants to put their trust in that God? Who wants to rely on a God who doesn't have power to deliver you in a time of need? No one. No one does. This type of attitude of doubting the power of God results in them not putting their full faith and their trust in Him. Are we the same way? I can read stories in the Bible of how that God did miraculous things in the Old and the New Testament. God even raised the dead. John chapter 11, Luke chapter 7. I tell you what. When it comes to a problem that I've got, that I need God's help with, I just don't know if He's strong enough to be able to help me in my time of need. Perhaps the reason we don't take things to God like we should is because we lack the faith and the trust in the power of God. As Brother Scott prayed for us this morning, help us to have the faith to know You can answer our prayers. We all struggle with that, don't we? Sure, God's powerful. Sure, God's done mighty deeds in the past and for other people. But what about me? Can God help me in this situation? And of course, as long as we're not going through it, we can give great advice to somebody else. Look, look, I know you're going through a hard time right now. Just trust God. Everything's going to be all right. Then we face a dilemma. And we wonder, well, not sure God can help me in my time of need. Failure to put our faith in the power of God and recognize He can save means that we're a modern day Sadducee. Outside of Mark 12, I want to make two more points. First of all, as we emphasized, the Sadducees do not believe in an afterlife. This is stated a couple of times in the New Testament. Josephus also backs this up and emphasizes the same thing. Because of this attitude, it led them to a complete focus in this life. There's no afterlife. When you die, you're dead. All you got to live for is right here and right now. That's it. That led them to pursue two things in particular: power and money. And the Sadducees were among the most wealthy in Judea at that time. And as little power as it would have been holding the office of the high priest and controlling the Sanhedrin, since the Romans controlled the Jews at that time, they did have a limited amount of power. And they would do anything to hold on to those two things. They opposed the Jewish rebellion in 66 through 70 AD, not because they were so concerned about the Romans. They were afraid they were going to lose power. Josephus tells us that they would do anything to remain in power, even if it meant going against their beliefs. It didn't matter to them. They had to remain in power. They had to remain wealthy. And because of that, they focused solely on this life. If there is no hope beyond the grave, then this is all we have to live for. And what a pitiful existence that is. And that's what the Sadducees believed. Sometimes I fear we live with the theology that heaven exists, but we sure act like all we got to live for is the here and now. The Sadducees were just too busy, caught up with everyday life, to pay attention to the scriptures, to pay attention to God, or anything else. I think if we're all honest, we probably fall in that same trap. We're just a little too busy to be worried about God right now. One day, it'll happen. But right now, I've got other things that I want to focus on, that I need to put my energy and my effort toward. And eventually, down the road, maybe sometime, I'll give myself fully to God. To focus entirely on this life, and to forget about storing up treasures in heaven, means that we're a modern day Sadducee. They did store up their treasures here on earth. And you know what happened to them as a result of the rebellion in AD 70? When the Romans finally get tired of everything, they come back and they destroy the temple, they destroy Jerusalem. The Sadducees disappear from history as a footnote. Because they put all of their stock and all of their energy into this life. It ended quickly and painfully for them. If all we trust in and look forward to is events of this life, we're going to be greatly disappointed. To put all our focus in this life means we're a modern day Sadducee. If you were to ask a Sadducee, do you believe in God? They would have adamantly said, yes, absolutely we believe in God. There is no doubt about that. And as a matter of fact, we are the most conservative. We only trust the law of Moses. We don't accept that oral tradition like the Pharisees do. We just stick to the first five books of the Bible. We're faithful to God's word. They believed in God. But it really made no difference in their life. They believed in God, but they didn't think it was important to carefully study His Word. They believed in God, but they doubted that He could save or deliver or help them. They believed in God, but didn't change the way that they lived. They could go out and live any way that they wanted. But yeah, they believed in God, absolutely. If I were to ask you this morning, do you believe in God? I have no doubt in my mind what the answer would be. Absolutely, you would say. But if then we were to ask one another, what difference has it made in your life? How have you changed as a result of God being in you? Well, that's a different question, isn't it? Yes, we believe in God, but, well, does it make much of a difference in our life? If we are truly followers of God, that is going to alter who we are. And that's going to change who we are. Are we allowing God's word to shape and to mold us and make us better? Or are we just professing, yeah, we're Christians. We know God. We believe in God. And going out in the world and not letting it make any difference in our lives. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, I'm not the man that I should be. And I'm not the man by God's grace one day I will be. But thank God, I'm not the man I used to be. And may the story of the gospel change our hearts and our minds in every way. And if it doesn't, we're just modern day Sadducees, believing in God. But it really doesn't make much of a difference how we live Monday through Saturday. May God help you and may God help me to not make the same mistakes the Jewish religious leaders did, but to stand firm and faithful in Him. Bow with me, please. Oh Lord God of heaven and earth, Lord, we need Your strength and Your help and Your encouragement to be better, to be more faithful, and to be more true to You. Lord, we ask that You give us the knowledge, You give us the strength to follow Your word, to be careful servants of You, and to live so that we might become more like You. Help us to imitate You, O Lord, and to become holy as You are holy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there are any in the audience who have not made their life right with God, we urge you, think about your situation. Don't put it off any longer. You've got an opportunity right now. Take advantage of it. Come forward as we stand and sing.